How many are happy it's cool out, finally? Wow. You would think that the guy that's lived in Mexico half of his life would be saying that. I just broke out a light jacket 2 days ago. I'm trying to get acclimated back into the weather here. And so I've been forcing myself to enjoy the coolness of the weather. And I've been drinking it in. I'm sure that this year, by the time winter is over with, I will be breaking out the heavy jacket, right? That's what I'm being told. I'm being told that it's going to be a cold winter. Well, if you have your Bibles, take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm excited about sharing with you what God has allowed me to see and share that briefly with you tonight. We don't mind glitches. You know why? God's bigger than that. Amen. He knows why he does what he does, or why he allows what he allows. And I appreciate the sound guys. They are the unsung heroes of a service. The only time you notice they're there is when things are wrong. You ever thought about that? Because when everything goes smooth, nobody even notices they're there. And that's the way they like it. They like to keep it that way. So I really appreciate the sound guys. They are a blessing. And we've got a good group of them. And they do a wonderful job with what they have. And I'm very grateful for them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. If you'll go with me to Hebrews 11, verse 8. I'll read aloud if you would follow me in your Bible. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We have here tonight in this portion of Scripture the pattern of faith in the life of Abraham. There are really only two ways that you and I can live life. One is to live life by sight. Base everything on what you see. Base everything on the tangible, on what you can figure out. The other is to live by faith, where you would base everything on what you can't see. As ridiculous as it sounds, a child of God lives by faith. We base our lives on what we've never seen. Hebrews 10:38 here says, if you turn back just a brief page, you'll see the 10:38, now the just shall live by what? By faith. By faith. God, Christ, heaven, hell, the Holy Spirit, any one individual that has written this, the Bible of nearly 40 or just over 40 over a period of 1,600 years that wrote the Scriptures under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, any graces God says that He dispenses to us, they're not tangible. They're not visible to the naked eye. And yet, we bank not only our life, but our eternal destiny on those things which we've never seen. That's how a Christian lives. That's how a child of God lives. However, the life of faith has some specific ingredients pointed out specifically in this text, where we see Abraham as a pattern for that life of faith. Now we remember in the book of Hebrews, the writer presents the priority of the new covenant. Israel had always followed the covenant that God made in the Old Testament, the sacrifice, the sacrificial patterns, and so on. They had allowed it to deteriorate into a works system, turning it into a ritual of works. So the Hebrew writer comes along and says, "Let me show you a new covenant." The new covenant in the blood of Christ, which replaces the old covenant, and it is a covenant of, and you say it, faith. It's a covenant of faith. One where you only believe, and you don't work to earn God's approval. So he presents to them all through the first 10 chapters, the new covenant, and ends in chapter 10, 38 and 39 that we just read, by saying, you apprehend this new covenant by faith. Something they've probably forgotten what it is and how it works. So then he takes chapter 11, describing to them how faith works and what it is. We see in verse 4 of chapter 11, where he talks about Abel and the life of faith. We see in verse 5 of chapter 11 how he speaks of Enoch and the walk of faith. We see in verse 7 him speak of Noah and the work of faith. Then he comes to Abraham and in verse 8, and Abraham becomes the pattern of faith that he lays out. And he reveals the totality of a faith life and all the ingredients that make up a real life of faith. Interesting that he uses Abraham, because the Jews, they take their lineage back to Abraham, who was the first of their race and the one chosen by God. So then he is a strategic illustration. If Abraham lived by faith, then that sets the pattern. In Acts 7, when Stephen wants to pull an illustration of faith, he uses Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, when Paul wants to pull an illustration of faith, he uses Abraham. And so he sets the pattern for us, this pattern of faith And we who live by faith in God are, in a spiritual sense, children of Abraham. Now, from the beginning, Abraham's life has been characterized by faith. When you go to Genesis chapter 15, and I'll read that briefly for you. In Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." How? Because he believed in the Lord. From the very beginning, a life of faith. Now, we see some features of faith that shows us this complete pattern. We're going back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, where we begin to see, number one, the pilgrimage of faith. Then we'll find the patience of faith. You'll see the power of faith, the positive of faith, and the proof of faith. We'll start in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for inheritance, obeyed. While being called, he obeyed. While being called, he went out, not even placing thought on where he was going. You say, well, that sounds a little reckless. And it does. Well, that seems a little foolish. Oh, it seems a lot foolish when you look at it from human eyes. He just said, God, you say go, I go. The where is immaterial. It's only a question of obedience. Obedience. That's the pilgrimage of faith. And he was called up and out of Ur of the Chaldees. Isaiah 51 refers that area as a pit. He was in a bad way. So God brings him up and he calls him out, which is also, we understand, a picture of salvation. A picture of salvation. That is the pilgrimage of faith. It seems ludicrous. To the world's eyes, it's foolish. To my grandparents' eyes, when my parents decided to do just that, we were excommunicated because it seemed foolish. Why would anybody do that? Where are you taking your family? They're going to die there. It's ludicrous. The pilgrimage of faith. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. This is very interesting. He stayed. He sojourned. He stayed. Kind of transient. To dwell beside, the dictionary says, or among. To dwell beside or among. He sojourned in the land. He dwelt in the land of promise as if he were in a foreign country. You know as well as I do that Abraham dwelled in tents. He did not have a permanent dwelling. Even when he got to the land, he never got the promise. Interesting. One of the greatest characters in Scripture as being an ideal of faith never tasted that promise himself. And he dwelt, he sojourned. He was a pilgrim. He only bought a little plot to bury. That was it. So he had to be patient as he sojourned in this land. We have verse number 9. We have the patience of faith. The patience of faith. He didn't have a permanent dwelling. You and I, as we live in this world, we are not of this world. If you have Christ in your heart and you claim to be a child of God, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Why? Because my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, the song says. Amen? This is not our home. This is not where we establish roots. We are sojourners in the land. Amen? A little quiet, but amen. Amen. This is not ours. This is not our final destination. I'm so glad this is not my final destination. I'm glad. I really am. Honestly, if this was it, I would be depressed right now. I mean, look around. I'd be discouraged. I'd be having a fit. I would be throwing my arms up in the air and running the streets screaming. That's what I would be doing right now if this was my final destination. But it's not. I have a different place, amen? And I can only say that because of the grace of God in my life. Hallelujah. The life of faith, takes patience. So from the beginning, it takes patience. He dwelled in the land as a sojourner in the land. Just be patient. Just be patient. You say, well, Brother Dan, I've about had all the patience I can handle. Just be patient. How could he be patient? Verse 10. Here's a secret. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for what we see. He was looking for what we can't see. For what we were told would be by faith. By faith. Amen? Then we get to verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received, what's the word there? Received strength. Received strength. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith sees the invisible. It hears the inaudible. It touches the intangible. And it accomplishes the impossible. It is a powerful commodity in our life. However, unfortunately, most faith is all talk and it never really gets to action. But true faith in action is powerful. True faith in action is powerful. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, say it with me, all things are possible. And he said, the things which are possible with men are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18, 27. Luke 17, 19 says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Philippians 4, 13. I can do how many things? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ephesians 3, 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that is the power of God in and through us. Is anything too hard for God? No. Faith is powerful. Then also, we come to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They were happy pilgrims. They weren't grumbly pilgrims. They were happy. They were happy. They were satisfied because they knew that there was a positive end to their faith. Faith is positive. There's a positivity in faith, in a faith-lived life. We can be positive in our faith because we know the outcome, amen? We know that what the end of the book says. God has allowed us to glimpse that. I love Romans. If you'll go with me, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I love this verse. My dad used to do something when he'd preach with Romans, and he'd have us turn to Romans 8, 1. And he said, now I want you to read this with me. There is therefore now. Say it with me. There is therefore when? Now, know what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We won't do it now, but if you were to close your Bible, and in 5 minutes you open your Bible up, what is it going to say? There is therefore what? Now, no condemnation. And you can close your Bible, and 10 days from now, open it up, and it will say, there is therefore, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. 15 years from now, open up your scripture and what will it say? There is therefore, right now, no condemnation. That's something to get pretty excited about. That's something to be positive about. Thank God there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. I love verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he says, and I love this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Faith is a positive thing. Verse 17, back to Hebrews 11. Verse 17, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What is the final proof of faith? What is the proof of faith? It's illustrated right here. And it was illustrated in the life of Abraham, and that is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Taking something that you value and being willing to lay it on the line by faith. If any man, the Bible says, will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Deny what I want. What I want. The pilgrimage of faith we found that is separated from the world that we live in. The patience of faith waiting for God to work. Because it is God that works in and through us. It is not of ourselves that the work of God is done. He uses us as an instrument. We have the power of faith that does the impossible. The positive of faith, focusing on God's eternal promise and believing it guaranteed. Do we really believe what the Scripture says. And then the proof of faith. And that is, and highly illustrated in the life of Abraham as a pattern of faith, obedience. Obedience above all. Self-sacrifice. That is the pattern of faith. If you would, go with me to John chapter 21. And this will conclude the message for tonight. John chapter 21. We have an illustration of the disciples. One in particular got a little bent sideways in the beginning of chapter 21. And they had been told prior to this that they should wait for Christ in a certain place. And it's almost as if Simon Peter said, you know, I stink at being a disciple. I have put my foot in my mouth so many times. I blew the test of walking on water. Now, never mind the fact that he did walk on water, but then, you know, he did sink because he took his eyes off Christ. And it's almost as if he's remembering all this. And he said, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to doing what I know to do. Do what I do best, what I was raised to do. I'm going to go fishing. And everybody else said, well, let's go fishing. And they went fishing. And they fished all night. And you know the story. They caught what? Nothing. Zip. Fishermen that knew where, when, how, that was their livelihood. They caught nothing. I won't go into the whole story, but you get to as you get into the story in chapter 21, Christ already had fish sizzling on the grill. And when he had went through the process of asking them, and they realize it's him, and then in shame and embarrassment because they've been caught in a posture of disobedience, they just jump into water. Well, Peter just jumps into water, about drowned himself. The others, they had enough wits about them to jump in a little boat and then row to the shore. And they get there, and then there's an interchange with Christ and Simon Peter, and you don't see Christ beating them over the head and whipping them to get them back into shape. You see him tenderly call him again to himself. And there's a little interchange there where he asks him if he loves him. And he asks several times if he loves him. And then he tells him a few things. And then we get to verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him what? After all that, he just said two words. Follow me. Honestly, I don't think we have a problem with all the other stuff. I think we're willing to do things. I think we're willing to suffer a little for Christ's sake. I believe we are in our heart of hearts. But when it gets to this part right here, all right, then follow me. Check out what he does here. He says, then Peter turning about, and I love this. Who's writing the book? Who writes? John. Who's he writing about here? Then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Oh, by the way, which also leaned on his breast at supper and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth? Who's he writing about? He's writing about himself. He's bragging. He's bragging. Least we think that these guys were holier than thou and they weren't like we are. They were just like us. You know the one that, you know, yeah, that one. Yeah, that was the one. Peter turns about and looks at John, and Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus. Now remember, this is immediately following God said, Christ saying, follow me. He's speaking to whom? He's speaking to Peter. Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now is that not like us? God asks us to do something, and we say, well, yeah, okay, but what about him? Or what about her? What about her? And look what Christ says. This is very interesting to me. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What do you care, he says. Then he says, you follow me. So tonight, we've witnessed the pattern of faith in the life of Abraham, laid out beautifully in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith in Scripture. We saw the pilgrimage. We saw the patience of faith, the power of faith, the positive of faith. And what is the proof of faith then in our life? How would we know in our life if we are living that life of faith? We must be willing to obey. And that's where the rubber meets the road. With heads bowed and eyes closed. You might be here this evening, and I pray that the Holy Spirit was able to speak to your heart as he spoke to my heart. I needed this tonight. I needed this reminder. Sometimes I think I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. I'm crossing my T's, dotting my I's. I'm doing really good. And then I reread a portion of Scripture where God lays out a true example of what living the faith life is. And I have to say, I have to admit, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not what I thought I was being. How many times have I hesitated? Abraham didn't hesitate. He wasn't given directions. He did not have an address to enter into his Google Maps when he took off. He had no address to go to. God said, follow me. He obeyed. Period. Let's ask ourselves that question tonight. If tonight God came into this room, and I pray that his presence is felt tonight, and he said, I need you to follow me. Where are we going? I'll let you know. How many of us, let's be honest with ourselves, how many of us would leave our seat and directly fall in line behind him and walk out that door with him to the unknown? To the unknown. That is obedience. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding me of what it is to live a life of faith. Heavenly Father, I want to live that life. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be obedient to you. I want to experience powerful, positive faith in my life. I must be obedient. As the ladies play, let's all stand quietly to our feet. If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and you would like to avail yourself of the altar, or maybe you would like to stay right there in your pew as they play the hymn of invitation, now's the time, if you have not already, to do business with God. Perhaps you're listening to the sound of my voice tonight and you're a little puzzled as to what it is to live a life of faith. A life of faith begins with faith in Christ. With faith in Christ. Faith in the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross because you and I could not save ourselves. And he sent him to die so that we would not have to. He paid the price. He was the ultimate obedient sacrifice for us. That life of faith begins at salvation. And I would recommend to you tonight to place your faith and your trust in Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior so that you can begin this beautiful and wonderful life of faith that a Christian has the privilege of living. Christian, tonight, if Christ is willing to obey without hesitation and to make that sacrifice, what are we willing to do for Him? Think about that tonight as we go our respective ways. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for meeting with us tonight. We love you and we thank you for being that ultimate example and for laying down your life, Christ, for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you for being in the house of God tonight, and thank you for paying attention and not throwing rocks. And I was going to say hymn books, but you don't have hymn books to throw. But thank you for having patience with us in the beginning of the service tonight as we were working through those glitches. And God takes care of everything, does He not? And Dylan, thank you for being here and sharing that with us. We're praying.